is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the broadcast. Good to be with you. Wow, what an amazing show last week. If you missed that show, you must go to iTunes and search for it. Just type in Jim Paris Live. The fascinating story of Kendall Carver, his own daughter, disappeared on a cruise, never to be found again. Disappears on a cruise ship, never to be found again. And the cover-up that followed, probably one of the most shocking stories I have ever heard in my entire life. If you missed the show last week, you've got to go over to iTunes and listen to it on the replay. Just type in Jim Paris Live. On next week's program, we will have a fascinating guest for you. His name is Daniel Pilla, and I've known Dan for about 20 years. You may know him from radio and TV. He's written a number of books. I call him the IRS problem solver. And what he gets into is how to negotiate with the IRS on your tax debt. And this is something a lot of people have questions about right now. I've been getting a lot of questions from people going into the new year. What do? I owe the IRS money that I can't pay. How do I deal with this whole situation? So Daniel Pilla will be with us next Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern. Tonight's program, this is going to be one of our big shows of the year. We've got a prophecy expert, researcher, author, speaker, L.A. Marzulli. He'll be with us in just a couple of moments to talk about what's happening right now in the world of Bible prophecy. We also want to talk about UFOs, and I'm also going to hit him with something that I know he blogged on this last week, the whole confrontation between Alex Jones and Piers Morgan and what the Bible prophecy issues that might be related to all of that. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but he did write an interesting blog on that this week. We also have a couple of quick announcements for you before we get into tonight's program. The first thing is we do have a special free live event coming up on Tuesday night. Many of you know that about 5 years ago, because so many people were asking me, I started teaching some online classes on how to make money working over the internet. You know, how to use the internet to market yourself, how to set up your own blog, your own website, and actually earn money with advertisements and other things that you can do on your website. And being that it's the first of the year, a lot of people are asking me to do another big workshop on this, so I'm going to do that. It's going to be this coming Tuesday night, which I believe is January the 15th. We're going to fire everything up at 9 o'clock Eastern. If you want to get registered for that, we do have a limit of 250 live participants. So if you want to get in on that, you need to go to the website jimsfreetraining.com, jimsfreetraining.com. We're going to get into how to make money publishing your own ebook, how to set up your own website or blog, how to put some money-making ads on your website or blog, some pretty good stuff. I know you're going to get a lot out of it, and it's free. You don't need any special software. Just connect your computer to the internet, turn on your speakers, and you'll get all of the instructions if you'll go over and register over at jimsfreetraining.com. My brand new book is doing very, very well. It is my 24th book and a little bit of a different book. I share my life story, you know, what happened to me during the last 10 years where I ended up being the victim of an embezzlement scheme, ended up losing my whole life savings, having to start my life all over again. An interesting story and a very positive outcome. Here I am. Back doing all this again. So if you want to grab a copy of the book, a couple of things you can do. If you have a Kindle, it's available for Kindle. If you're a member of the Amazon Prime program, you can actually borrow the book for free on your Kindle device, or you can get it in paperback. It is a 170-page paperback book. You can grab a copy over at Amazon.com. I have been on and off the Amazon.com bestseller list, so it's been doing very well. And the title is How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, a very different financial book, not like any other financial book that you will have ever read. It's a very surprising take on things, and I know you'll enjoy it. We've gotten so many positive reviews. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. All right, here's what we're going to do tonight. And I'm not going to start taking calls until about 20 or 25 minutes into the program. So I'm talking right now to my producer. Joy, I am totally okay if you want to put people on hold up until that point. But I've got a few things I want to get into with L.A. Marzulli before we get callers on the program. But what I did was a little bit of spring cleaning. I've got a stack of L.A. Marzulli stuff to give away. And I decided one of my New Year's resolutions is if I read a book and I finish the book, I'm going to give it away rather than stockpiling, because I get to the point where I have absolutely no space to even walk in my office. So I have gathered together, I have seven different L.A. Marzulli items that I'm going to be giving away tonight. And we're going to give them to everybody that gets on to ask a question. And we've got seven items. So the first seven people that get on with us with a question, you'll get an L.A. Marzulli book or an L.A. Marzulli DVD. You'll tell our call screener which you would like. We'll get your address. You'll then come on the show to ask your question. And we won't need to hold you afterwards because we're going to get all those addresses up front. So if you want to get on hold right now, be in the top seven callers. You've got to also have a question for us as well. The number to dial to join us is toll-free 888-287-3316. That's 888-287-3316. Again, 888-287-3316. Well, without any further delay, bring on our guest tonight, L.A. Marzulli. Lynn, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, sir. And I don't know if you follow what happened with that little YouTube video that we did together last year. We did a video, for everybody listening, we did a video called Strange Trumpet Sounds, dealing with this phenomenon of all these unexplained sounds. And we had Lynn on the video for about a third of it. And that little video is about to hit 390,000 views since I think we did that in March of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Any update on the strange trumpet sounds phenomenon or strange sounds around the world?
Well, we know that they're back again. People are hearing some strange stuff again. We've just heard that in the last since the new year. So I haven't investigated any of them personally or gone out or tried to talk to witnesses. We've been doing other things, getting ready for production of Watcher 6. But to suffice it to say, all of this is happening in conjunction with everything else, all the other signs that we talk about. The bizarre weather patterns are just, I mean, something to write home about. In my little neck of the woods, the Santa Monica Mountains, I've never seen it as cold as it's been here. It's like East Coast weather. It's been down in the 30s, below freezing every night. We've lost some of our trumpet vines, which are not used to this type of severe weather. And obviously it's going to impact other areas of California, Southern California. It's definitely going to impact some of the winter crops, no doubt about that. So, you know, we keep looking at all of this, and if you just take it like one isolated event, it's like you kind of shrug your shoulders and move on. But I think when we look at it, these sounds in conjunction with the very, very bizarre climate change that we see happening, the severe weather patterns in different parts of the world. I know that I think it was in Afghanistan, scores of people died. Same thing in India, scores of people died from the severe cold. I know Israel right now, the Middle East, is experiencing very severe flooding. The dust coming off in Australia is just phenomenal. I looked at some pictures today. So yeah, when we look at all these things together, we have to ask ourselves, is it business as usual or is it something more? I mean, are we looking at the birth pangs that we are told by Jesus himself will precede his second coming? Also, it will precede that seven-year tribulation period. So regardless of where we are or where, you know, your listeners are, whether you're pre, mid, post, or you know, amillennialism, I mean, something is going on here, and we need to wake up and understand that it's not business as usual, in my opinion.
I was going to mention to you last night. I was my wife was actually out of town at a conference this weekend, so I was sitting at home with my dog, just the two of us sitting on the couch looking for something to watch on TV. And I have one of those Roku devices where I can connect up to Amazon. And I noticed a number of your watchers' videos are now available for the instant viewing on Amazon. Is that new that you've added those, made those available in that way?
Yeah, we signed a deal with Cinefy, and watchers 1 through 4 are available for download on Netflix, so, you know, through Amazon. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, now tell people about the Watchers series. Fascinating videos. And how many years has it been now since you've been doing these Watchers videos?
How many years? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, how many years have you been doing the videos?
It's about 2.5 years since we did the first one.
And now there are 6 altogether?
There's 5. We're actually working on 6 right now. And 7 and 8 are on the drawing board. So we know we have an audience. We've got a fan base. I think we bring stories to people that the mainstream media doesn't handle and the mainstream church doesn't handle. You know, some of the stuff is just, with all due respect, when you turn on a lot of programming, whether it's the History Channel, Discovery Channel, or Christian TV, everything is like it's couched. There's like an agenda.
Nobody wants to really come out and say any of this stuff. And that's one of the things I enjoy about having you with us. I want to ask you in a minute about the whole Alex Jones, Piers Morgan blow up. Then we're going to get into UFOs. But for people not familiar with you, give us a little bit of a background on yourself. Of course, I went to your 2-day conference and got to know you really well and all that, but maybe there's some people listening tonight who don't know who you are. They've been living under a rock somewhere. Give them a little background on yourself and your personal testimony as a Christian and how you got into all of this stuff here.
Well, I was steeped in the occult for basically 15 years. I didn't become born again until I was 30. That's now 32 years ago. Actually, it'll be 33 years this June, being born again and spirit-filled. And it was a life-changing moment for me, literally, life-changing. And I've never looked back. It's just been 32 and a half years of very intense, sometimes ministry, sometimes teaching, just all different aspects of. I was a worship leader for basically 25 years, something like that. Different churches, and love that. But the Lord switched my assignment about 7-8 years ago, and I wrote my first book in Nephilim, which is published by Zondervan, and then book 2 and book 3, it's a trilogy, came after that. And in 2005, that was the last book, and then it was a dry period where Zondervan didn't pick anything up. We had some other stuff going on, so I wrote this one book, a nonfiction work, called Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, and that was published in 2007, but I wrote it really in 2006 into 2007. Bottom line is my assignment changed from sort of a music director into what I'm doing now, and then on the heels of that came the alien interviews, which is, I sat down with people who have actually had contact with the so-called UFO extraterrestrial phenomena. There are 5 PhDs who come on the record in that book. The last book, The Cosmic Chess Match, which came out last year, talks about spiritual warfare and sort of picks up where the Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural left off. And then, of course, we started the Watchers series. We've done 5 of those, and we're working on 6. I'm also working on a new book entitled On the Trail of the Nephilim, which should be available sometime in 2013. Probably, I'm going to guess May, April, May, sometime in that time window of time. And, of course, I've written over 1,500 articles on the blog and with the news magazine that I publish. So I'm very busy, do a lot of conferences. We were in Dallas last week at Future Congress 2 with about 30 other speakers. It was a wonderful time, and got to hang out with some buddies. So that's a little bit about me, it's kind of what we do. And
your website, for people that want to get more information about you after the show tonight?
Yeah, it's www.lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net. You can link from the blog from there. The website is basically a store. There's not a lot of information there. 1,500 articles, however, are on the blog. So there's tons and tons and tons of info on the blog. Lots of links to other stories. And, of course, you know, I write a story pretty much every day, 6 days a week, I'm blogging about something, and it's a variety. I'm not a one-trick pony. It's not all about UFOs. In fact, I don't think I've blogged about UFOs probably in 15, 20 days, maybe longer. I don't know. I don't.
You're
really
taking like a little break from the UFO topic. That's your New Year's resolution. let me ask you about this whole dust up this week between Alex Jones and Piers Morgan. And I have to give you my honest assessment of Alex Jones. I find him very interesting to listen to. Mm-hmm. I sort of lose touch with him when he gets into like that the U.S. government was behind 9/11 and things like that. You know, I don't know where you stand on that, but some of it is a little bit too much for me to be able to sign on to. But this might be one situation where I line up shoulder to shoulder with Alex Jones. It seems like a large faction of our leaders really do want to take away our guns, and you had an interesting blog this week about how this might play into the end times events, including the Antichrist, and this wasn't just the Alex Jones versus Piers Morgan CNN event. I don't know about you, but every show I turned on seemed to be talking about this, and the backstory on these shootings seems to get stranger and stranger. You know, who are these people doing these shootings? Some of them have such secretive and bizarre backgrounds. You wonder, is there a demonic influence here? Or are we dealing with just mentally unstable people or maybe demon-possessed individuals in some cases? But share with us your thoughts on the whole gun control issue, the Antichrist and the end times, and your thoughts on maybe the whole demonic influence that could be playing into these mass shootings.
Well, look, you mentioned 9/11. Let's cut to the chase on that. There are over 1,500 architects and engineers who have signed, you know, put their credentials on the line and said, okay, folks, we've looked at the evidence. Buildings don't collapse at free fall speeds. And if you're at all in doubt, and I would challenge you to do this after the show, Google Building 7. Just go to YouTube and Google Building 7. How does a building, which has not been hit and structurally damaged by an aircraft, if there's a fire going on, right? The fire burned for 8 hours. I get all that. How does that building collapse at free fall speed? How does that building collapse at free fall speed? And that's a smoking gun, literally, because buildings don't collapse at free fall speed. And what we saw that day, remember, Hitler burned the Reichstag. I'll just leave it at that. Hitler burned the Reichstag. And from burning the Reichstag, they declared a type of martial law in Germany, and the government took over. It's the same thing with the Patriot Act. From that 9/11, we've got the Patriot Act. And then, of course, Obama signed into law, not this New Year's or Christmas Eve, but the last year, 2012, or 2011, rather. He signed into law that the government has a right to anyone that they deem as a terrorist. They can arrest without bringing charges against you. There goes habeas corpus. There goes our constitutional rights right out the window. That's what we fought the American Revolution for. It was one of the main reasons, the right of habeas corpus. Here's the man. And all that's gone. Now, have they implemented that yet? No, not that I'm aware of. But there are cases which are coming across my desk of that type of totalitarian mindset with law enforcement, where they'll take someone, throw them into jail, and you know, guy was in there for a year in solitary confinement, no charges brought against him, and finally he was just released. It's like, what country is this? Is this Russia? You know, is this the Soviet Union? Where am I? I find where we are extremely alarming, and as I blogged about the moment, the Batman shooter and the Sandy Hook shooter, and there's some interesting weird things going on with that. Like when you look in the Dark Knight, you know, why is Sandy Hook there on the map? Well, is that just coincidence? I mean, that's just bizarre. What is going on? And we know that the Illuminati do everything in plain sight. Look at, and I'm getting a little woo-woo here, and I understand that. Watch last year's Super Bowl halftime with Madonna. It is absolutely a Luciferian Masonic rite. It is in our face. In our face. And yet the church sleeps. Oh, isn't that nice? Madonna's pretty far out. I used to like her music. Far, you know, whatever. It's unbelievable. It's like when you really look at that and you begin to dissect it and watch what you're looking at. Do some research. Do some digging. The whole thing is just a huge occult it's a huge Illuminati occult Luciferian fest, as were the opening ceremony of the Olympics with the big baby and all this other stuff. I mean, it's just mind-boggling where we are. So in order to what stops the New World Order from happening, there's two things. They can't collapse the dollar if the American people are armed, because people aren't going to put up with martial law. They can't do it. They've got to somehow collect the guns. And like, you know, Cuomo, you know, we don't need this, we don't need that. It's like, what? Read some history. And the problem is, there's a lot of people who are asleep in this country. But in every single case, look at Hitler, look at Stalin, look at Mao Zedong. Every single case, they round up the guns. The moment they become and get in power, they take the guns away. Why? Because then the people are helpless. They can't strike back. The Second Amendment is put in there, and if you don't believe me, just Google Judge Napolitano, one of my heroes. The Second Amendment is put there to protect the citizens against the government, against the tyrannical use of power. And frankly, if the founding fathers were here, they'd be ripping their wigs off. They wouldn't be able to believe where we are as a country, with the central banking, with the Federal Reserve, which was never supposed to be in play. You know, we are owned by a central bank, which has nothing to do with our government. It's an international bank run by private interest. And they dictate to us where we are, what's going on. They dictate. The whole currency, this paper fiat currency, is when this thing collapses, and it will collapse, probably in 2013, I'm not a prophet, but it can't sustain itself much longer. $16.4 trillion, who's going to service that debt?
And really, we've actually looked into the national debt, and there are credible economists like Dr. Walter Williams who's come out and said the real debt, when you factor in the money trillions. The government must borrow but hasn't borrowed yet for future unfunded liabilities, is actually over $100 trillion.
Yeah, I heard 90, but, you know, it doesn't matter. At that point, you're toast.
Who cares? You get to a certain point. Let's open up the phone lines here. We'll start lining up some phone calls for L.A. Marzulli. Any of this that you want to talk about, and we've got a gift. The first 7 callers tonight, we've got some books and videos, and you'll just tell our call screener you want a book or you want a video. The number to dial toll-free is 888-287-3316. Your questions for L.A. Marzulli, or a comment on something that we've talked about tonight. And the first 7 callers, we're going to give you either a book or a video. You'll get your choice. Toll-free, 888-287-3316. You'll talk to Joyce. She'll get your first name and city. She'll put you on the board, and we'll bring you on the program. We'll start taking calls in about 10 minutes or so. Lynn, talk, if you will, about the whole UFO phenomenon and how it relates to the Bible. And I did your 2-day conference, so I know people listening today are going to only get a little bit, you know, scratching the surface here, but I know you start back in Genesis chapter 6, and why don't you take us through this for a few minutes of what you consider to be today's current UFO phenomenon and how that makes its connection in the Bible.
Well, I mean, that's a mouthful, and I mean, we could talk for hours on that. There's a lot to talk about, but basically what we see in Genesis 6, we see the fallen ones, which are the sons of God, which are the fallen angels, B'nai Ha-Elohim, and they come down, they have sex with the women, and this hybrid is then roaming the earth, called the Nephilim. And we also see in Scripture, it says, and also afterwards. Now, there are some that want to take that and say, well, it really doesn't mean what it says, and also afterwards doesn't mean and also afterwards. It means and also after the first incursion, they came still in the days of Noah. Well, I don't buy that for a minute. Moses wrote this, and Moses is writing from his perspective far after the flood. And I buy what I hold to, as does Pember, as does Doug Hamp, Chuck Missler, my mentor, Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, Tom Horn, and others. We believe that the incursions happened afterwards also, perhaps at Sodom and Gomorrah, certainly in Numbers 13, when we see the spies go into the Promised Land, and guess who's there? The Nephilim. So you say, well, how the heck does that connect with the UFO phenomena? Well, it does. First of all, we're dealing with interdimensional beings, fallen angels, that can move in and out of our dimension pretty much at will. We have proof texts of that. We've got the book of Job, where have you been, Satan? Well, I've been walking to and fro over the face of the earth. Isn't that interesting? So Satan at that particular time still has access to the third heaven where the Most High God is and can still go up there and hang out with the other angels. How does that work? Think about that. I mean, the protocols of heaven, of the heavenly realm, we get very little glimpses, very little information from time to time in Scripture. So we really don't understand how this thing is working. But we are in a cosmic war between the fallen angels and the third of the host of angels that he took with him and the Most High God. And this thing is playing out and will play out on this planet. So when we go to 2 Thessalonians, we read that Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders. We also read a little further in that same chapter that because they did not believe the truth, what is the truth? That God created everything through his son Yeshua, Jesus, that Jesus came, was born of a virgin, led a sinless life, gave his life willingly on Calvary, and by his blood and believing on him who was sent, Jesus, we, by asking, will have eternal life. We are born again and brought into the kingdom of the Most High. Well, because they didn't believe that, God sends them strong delusion. Remember, we put on, in Ephesians 6, right, we put on the belt of truth. What is the truth? Once again, we're putting on Jesus. We put on the armor of God. We're putting on Yeshua. We're putting on Jesus. That's what we're putting on. It says in John, by him all things were made. Well, the doctrine, in order to slip the lie in, and Jesus warns us that let no man deceive you, right? That even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. The elect being Israel, and they could be deceived if possible. But, you know, we're grafted in, so we're not the elect in that scripture per se. But even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. Strong warnings. Men faint from fear from what is coming on the earth. Another strong warning by Jesus. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. What is coming is unprecedented. In order to bring this in order to have this coming great deception, because it says in 2 Thessalonians again, it says very specifically that the Antichrist will not come, the son of perdition will not be revealed until the apostasia, the falling away, the departure comes first. All those words, departure, falling away, come from the root word apostasy, which we get our word apostasy from. There's going to be an apostasy. Those who think that this is the rapture because it means departure, in my opinion, are just misled. It's a bad exegesis. It's a bad interpretation. The word apostasy means falling away from what? Or departure from what? From the faith. That's what it means, and that begs the question, what would create a falling away? What would cause millions of people to fall away? Well, all that to get to this. We know that Darwinism has usurped Christianity. It is the predominant worldview in academia. It is taught in our schools. If you want to be anything in academia, if you want accreditation or anything like that, you must hold to the Darwinian paradigm. And the Darwinian paradigm has never been proven. We know that. It's a theory, and it's a dreadful theory, that
and
everything
so
just somehow evolved.
One of the things that you mention in your conference, which I would recommend to anybody if you have a chance to go to see L.A. Marzulli for a full day or a two-day conference, it's very, very fascinating. It's hard to get into all this in such a short, compressed window
of
time.
Yeah, it really is. It's almost impossible.
But the one thing that I walked away with that I thought was really fascinating was this whole idea of the rapture of the church and how that could be explained away as a mass alien abduction. Comment
sure.
on that for a minute.
Well, again, let me just finish the thought with Darwinism. Darwinism sets up an intellectual and spiritual vacuum in that where did life begin? Where is our creator? The movie last summer, Prometheus, traveled in that, explored that possibility. And we see that there's a race of extraterrestrials who somehow created us. When Ben Stein in the movie Expelled sits down with Richard Dawkins and he poses the question to Dawkins, where did life begin? Dawkins basically is espousing what I would call the coming great deception. He's saying, well, maybe millions of years ago a race of extraterrestrials created us and then seeded us through the galaxy. What? This is from Richard Dawkins, one of the most premier evolutionists of the 20th and 21st century. This is all he's got. And that is circular reasoning, because and it's also a straw man argument, because he has no clue as to what's going on. And the straw man argument is simply this. Where do they come from? It's circular reasoning. He doesn't know. He's just making this stuff up. You know, where did they come from? Darwinism creates this intellectual vacuum. So, get this. When they show up, and they will show up, this has all been orchestrated. Again, it speaks, 2 Thessalonians speaks, all signs and lying wonders. There'll be a great falling away and apostasy. When there's a war on this planet, and we see a nuke go off somewhere on this planet, and I'm telling you, it'll happen. It'll happen. It will create the greatest amount of collective fear the human race has ever known. And that's the perfect time to spring the so-called extraterrestrial presence. Look, it's everywhere. Your listeners probably haven't done the homework. But when you go do your homework, you'll find that England, the UK, Germany, Mexico, Spain, Japan, and other countries have all revealed at one time, which were at one time classified documents pertaining to UFOs. The phenomena is real. It's not going away. And that's where we are. And when this stuff hits, it's a game changer.
Let's start taking some phone calls here, folks. If you want to join us, the toll-free number is 888-287-3316. And the first six or seven callers, I'm told seven, we've got an L.A. Marzulli book to give you or an L.A. Marzulli DVD. I'm doing some spring cleaning here, so you'll get an extra gift for coming on the show with your question tonight. Toll-free, 888-287-3316. We start with our calls, and first with us tonight from the Los Angeles area is Marie. Hello, Marie. You're on the program with L.A. Marzulli.
Hi, I'm glad to be on the show. I have several questions, but I guess I should start with just one.
Yeah, we can take a couple of questions from you. Go ahead.
Well, what can we do to help warn people about trouble to come? It's kind of like they don't believe us, you know. And you know, along with that, like, how can we prepare so we could be able to, you know, love and serve those people through, you know, crises to come? Because it's funny. I talk to my, you know, friends who are in states like California that are just, you know, going, you know, down the tubes financially, and they're talking about the, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl and just things that just, I mean, you know, it's like they don't get it. What can we do to help wake people up?
Well, without sounding self-serving, but here's the deal. The reason why we write books and DVDs with the Watcher series, the reason why Doug Hamp or Tom Horn, to name a few, Rob Skiba, I mean, there's a whole bunch of us out there that have resources. We're on Gary Stearman's show probably four or five times a year, Prophecy of the News, and we're always talking about this stuff. I mean, this is all I do. I write, we produce DVDs, other authors produce books and DVDs. There's a wealth of information out there. Get something. It doesn't have to be from me, but get some resources and start handing them out to people. Because, you know, look, most people they haven't read the material, they haven't traveled in this, and the communication skills, you know, when they start talking about it to people, it's like, eh. And look, video is king. You start showing people what's going on through some videos, it's like, wow, you wake people up. And it's important that we wake people up. I mean, my wife and I were talking today. We didn't go to the church that we go to. We're tired of the show. You know, we're just tired of walking in and it's the same old, where we're gonna have this ceremony that we do week on and week out. And, you know, nothing changes. Nothing. People aren't changed for the most part. And I say that with all due respect, but that happens in churches all across the country. The pastors are not warning their flock what's really going on. And I take great umbrage in that, because as a watchman on my blog, I warn people. What I see, I warn people of. Otherwise, the blood's on my head. But once I'm done warning, then I'm done. You know, here's what I see coming. Look, I called the Arab Spring, and I called Sharia law in Egypt the week during the ousting of Mubarak. And all these morons on the mainstream media is going, oh, there's going to be democracy in Egypt. Oh, isn't this great? The Egyptian people and the Arab Spring, we're going to have democracy. And I said, baloney. There's no springboard to democracy in the Middle East. All they know is Islam and Sharia law. What we will see will be Sharia law. And guess what? What's implemented in Egypt right now, in other places? Sharia law. I was right. I call it as I see it. I'm not 100% right. I'm not saying I'm a prophet, but I am a watchman. And what I see is the collapse of the U.S. dollar, more than likely in 2013. And that, when that paper currency, and it doesn't have to collapse totally, what happens if, like, the Iranian people, they wake up and the rial is devalued 50%? What? So you had $10,000 in your bank account. You wake up the next morning, you've only got $5,000 in purchasing power. You just lost 50% of your purchasing power. That happened to Iran. Now, you got to dig those stories out. Meanwhile, you know, it's all Super Bowl and this, like you're saying, most of the church is completely asleep and most Americans are completely asleep. The fact that the government is talking about rounding up all our guns and major gun legislation, the fact that Dianne Feinstein is, well, we're just going to have to stop all these gunners and all this other nonsense. It's like, you know, when Alex Jones sat down with Piers Morgan, Alex got a little over the top. And I admit that. Towards the end, he was coming out of his chair, and Pierce, unfortunately, remained calm, and
well,
he sort of held
the
higher ground, but
what about
with his little stupid factoid thing. But I'm shoulder to shoulder here with Alex on that.
Yeah, what about the part where he said that they should set up a boxing ring, and that Alex says, I will box you right here on the set? I thought that was a little bit too much.
Yeah,
but
classic comeback.
Yeah, that's typical Alex Jones. Hey, get into what's going on with Ohio and Giants. I heard you talking about this not too long ago. I believe you were up in that area. And then I heard on Coast to Coast AM, I don't remember the guy's name, but it was a totally, yeah, totally secular guest who apparently is finding evidence of Giants living all through the United States, in recent history, like as recent as maybe 100 years ago, finding evidence of
this.
What's going on with this?
Yeah, this is the topic of my new book. It's called On the Trail of the Nephilim. And the author you're speaking about on Coast to Coast was Jim Vieira. And I was I recommended Jim to Coast to Coast to Lisa because we had talked, we had exchanged information. What people don't understand is that the Smithsonian Institute has taken this information and basically shuttled it away to the point where there are still some artifacts that are around, but the Smithsonian, for instance, and this is in my new book, The On the Trail of the Nephilim, there is a ceremonial spearhead in at the Hill Museum. But the fact that I'm saying is probably the next time you go, it won't be there anymore. That's how the game is played. Hmm. But this artifact somehow got out, right? And there it is. It's a very large Clovis point, very large spearhead. And, of course, what you'll see in the museum, this spearhead was more than likely a ceremonial spearhead used by a chieftain. Okay, I get that. It could be that. But here's where it's disingenuous. Where did the spear come from? Was it pulled out beside a skeleton that was 9 feet? Because if it's a 9-footer, guess what? The spearhead is no longer ceremonial, it's utilitarian. And that 9-footer can use that. Same thing with these 27-pound axe heads that we see, that we find. It's everywhere, and it's coming out now. The new book I'm working on the Trail of the Nephilim, will talk about this. We believe, and the whole idea here, which goes against the prevailing idea in anthropology and in archaeology, there are two viewpoints. One is diffusionism, and the other is isolation. The other point is isolationism. The isolationists believe that everyone was isolated, that the human spirit, I don't want to build a canoe and go up this river. I'm content to live here where I am. Well, maybe I'll go 20 or 30 miles. Oh, but that's it. So there's no contact between these peoples and these ancient races. Baloney. Thor Heyerdahl, in two separate occasions, proved that you could build papyrus reed boats in Egypt and sell them, you know, to South America. And then he took a boat from Peru and went to, went out to the South Pacific, Contiki. I mean, he proved it. The other theory is the other position that you hold is diffusionism, which believes that cultures spread out and moved out, and that's the position I hold on to. Well, if diffusionism happened, and this is really gets interesting, because it gets back into the Nephilim. We know that the Nephilim were in the Promised Land. We know that a mandate came down in the Promised Land. This is all in my new book, On the Trail of the Nephilim. The mandate by the Most Holy God was, wipe everyone out that's in the Promised Land. Wipe all these tribes out. Wait a minute. Just stop and think about that. Wait a minute. Do we serve a genocidal, homicidal God? And you say, why would he do that? And then we go, And this is, again, I compare this in the new book. When we go to Nineveh, these people invented the word barber. I mean, these guys were the most bloodthirsty barbarous people in all of creation, in my opinion. You start reading some of the accounts of stuff that would happen in Nineveh, it's like, you've got to be kidding me. So, whatever, God raises up Jonah and tells Jonah, I want you to preach to these guys, there's grace and mercy that is shown in Nineveh. Grace and mercy is shown in Nineveh. Is there any grace and mercy to the tribes in the Holy Land? Zippo. Nada. Why? Because they are Nephilim. They are hybrid. So, here's the deal. Here's the theory. As Joshua and Caleb and the Israelites are moving into the Promised Land and they begin to slay the Nephilim, some of these guys go, we got to get out of here. And they're smart. And some went northward and some went southward across the ocean. That's the theory. And they settled, the ones that went northward, settled in the Ohio Valley. We believe that the Great Circle Mound and the Octagon Mound, as well as the so-called Hopewell Road and Chillicothe, are all Nephilim architecture. Why do we believe that? Because of the skeletons which were pulled out. Why do we believe that? Because of the oral tradition, which most anthropologists ignore, but many of the oral traditions from Native Americans speak about a race of giants that predated the Native Americans, and they were here. And it's over and over and over again. But the white man comes in and goes, well, we just can't believe that mythos. We can't believe that oral story. superstition. Baloney,
Lynn,
it's not.
What is the what is your understanding of the government having some of these bones, fossils, hidden away somewhere?
They do. And Jim, please refer to me as L.A. I can't stand the name Lynn. That is my name. It's Lynn Anthony. That's why I go by L.A.
Okay,
so
very good.
We'll do that. But here's the deal with that. We know. We've got witness after witness after witness. We've got news story after news clipping all across the United States talking about giants being unearthed, the Smithsonian coming in, carting the stuff up, bringing them back, and guess what? Oh, we never got them. We never got the bones. Oh, we have no one. There's no giants. There's literally a cover-up. You want to talk conspiracy? And guess what? You can't go and see them. Now that they voted NAGPRA in, which is the national, I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but basically stands for, it's a Native American Repatriation Act. You can't look at the skeletons. You can't look at the stuff. It's all under American Native Americans. However, I spoke to a Chumash Indian elder out here. Won't tell you the guy's name. He told me that he buried close to an 8-footer about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. It's everywhere. This stuff is everywhere. And I'm not at liberty to really get into this tonight because I want to finish the book, get the book out, and I will have some startling photographs. We believe that Nephilim skulls are being unearthed, literally Nephilim skulls. The reason for this is very simple, that we know that cranial deformation was practiced by ancient cultures. We know that cradle boarding was done to infants. This begs the question, why are they doing this? Why cranial deformation? Why is this shape so desirable in these ancient cultures? And then we discover that there are skulls that have this shape from birth. And this shape this skull is not human. What I mean by that, a human skull has four plates which are sutured together, which create the human skull. They are the frontal plate, the two parietal plates, and the occipital plate in the rear. These skulls only have three plates, the two parietal and the occipital. The maxilla, which is the upper jaw, is also quite pronounced in these. The lower jaw, the mandible, again, quite pronounced, much different. The skull material, quite different. The brain capacity, 25% larger brain. That's just for starters, folks. That's just
wow.
For starters.
Interesting stuff. Let's now go to Diane, who is, I believe, in South Carolina. Hello, Diane. Are you there, Diane?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead with your question for L.A. Marzulli.
What would you suggest to prepare for any of these things to happen? Like, what would you suggest to the standard family to help prepare your family?
Well, look, just some real basic stuff here, real basic stuff. Try to find people who are like-minded. Try to find people who are looking at what's really going on in the world and will prepare for an emergency. I would stockpile 4 to 6 months' worth of food. I would have I would start growing a garden. If you can't grow a garden, you know, even in apartment buildings, there's little decks outside the windows. You'd be surprised how much food you can grow. If you don't have money, rice and beans are extremely cheap. You can live off of rice and beans and some sauces. All that stuff is readily available and it's cheap. But I would, you know, food. Look, let's just go through some scenarios. If there's an electromagnetic pulse weapon, an EMP bomb, which would knock out life as we know it. It knocks out the electric grid, and it doesn't come back on. They're saying that the death rate at that point would be like 90%, because after the first winter, people were going to be killed off. There's no food. There's no running water. Life as we know it ceases to exist. So this is why it's important to prepare and find other people in your area that are like-minded, that will prepare with you. Holly Deo, Stan Deo's wife, wrote a book, Dare to Prepare. There's also Jen Markell on her radio show said, listed a list, which I posted on my blog, the 100 items which go away quickly in the event of a catastrophe. Look at Hurricane Sandy. Look at Hurricane Sandy. The Red Cross shows up with hot cocoa and cookies. Is that what you want? Do we really want to be waiting for FEMA and the Red Cross to come and save us? What happened to being self-reliant? And anybody.
Yeah, and any idea that if you even mention this in most churches today, they look at you like
where's
you're some
your
kind
faith?
Of kook.
Yeah,
idea,
you're not
like,
a kook.
Just say, you know, I regularly say, look, no matter what you believe, what harm would it do to have 30 days of water and 30 days of emergency food?
Absolutely.
Regardless of what the reason could be that you might need it, why would you not have that? I don't understand it. Yeah, it seems like the church really, really does need to wake up on a lot of this. Now, L.A., as we're closing out with you here tonight, we've got a commercial to take, but what I'm going to do is we're going to put the commercial off for a couple of minutes, and we're going to close out with you now and give you a chance, take a couple of minutes here, tell people about your organization, how they can get in touch with you, your books, your videos, your website, all that good stuff.
Well, I'm available to speak. I tour, you know, all of the United States. I come for airfare, lodging. My wife comes with me and a love offering. And I can speak all Friday night, all Saturday, and most of Sunday. And, you know, it's a lot less expensive than what you would think to actually have us come and hold a conference at your church to wake up stuff. If you're interested in resources, just go to the website, lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net, and you can avail yourself of all sorts of information. But there's also the L.A. Marzulli Lecture Series, which was done by a good friend of mine. There's, I think, 11 hours of video, all on DVD. And again, you can avail yourself of some wonderful information, and you can, you know, give that to your pastor or give that to your loved ones. It's all right there. There's books, there's DVDs, there's the Watcher series. There's lots of resources. LAMarzulli.net, LAMarzulli.net.
And you've got the first 5 videos are out there now for people. Some of
yep.
those are available on Amazon for instant viewing, and then this number 6 video, Watcher 6, when will that one be coming out?
Well, that will be out before June, with any luck. Hopefully, let me see, maybe the end of April, beginning of May, sometime in there. You know, we are leaving to do filming on February 1st. And it's going to be a very exhausting 15 days, very, very rigorous shooting schedule we have for 15 days. But then we come back and we'll start the editing process and start working on number 7, why 6 is being edited and in the can. But I honestly think that 6 will be groundbreaking, and that's all I can say about it. But I think 6 is going to show some very, very, very interesting footage, one which will – I just think it's going to be groundbreaking. Let's just put it that way. We'll see what happens.
Each one of these videos, I can't wait till they come out and I buy them, and it exceeds my expectations. L.A. Marzulli, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you and continue your good work.
God bless you. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate
You're welcome. All right, as we close out the program today, a few things we want to remind you about. We've got the big live event coming on Tuesday night. So if you're someone that is interested in starting an internet business, you can sign up for this tonight, and you'll be locked in. We only have space for 250 people. Jimsfreetraining.com is the website to go to. We're going to only go for about 45 minutes or an hour. I'll be sharing with you some real examples of things that I'm doing to make money working on the internet. You can do this totally part-time. All of the information that you need, a little bit of an overview of this, as well as the sign-up link, is over at jimsfreetraining.com. Next week, we will have IRS problem solver Dan Pilla. If you owe money to the IRS that you can't pay, or maybe you know someone that owes money to the IRS, and you're just in a stalemate and you're not sure how to resolve it, the IRS is maybe attaching your wages, maybe they're attaching your bank accounts. Daniel Pilla will be here next week to take live calls talking about your IRS problems. Now, if you want to get in touch with us during the week, maybe you've got an idea for a show topic. Maybe you've got a question. Of course, the website is christianmoney.com, but my email is jim@christianmoney.com. And if you'd like to find out more about L.A. Marzulli, all you've got to do is Google his name, and you'll get to all of his different websites. His blog, which has all of the articles, that's where you probably want to start with, is L.A. Marzulli, and that's spelled M-A-R-Z-U-L-L-I, lamarzulli.wordpress.com, lamarzulli.wordpress.com. And if I remember, after the show, I'll put that up on my Twitter feed, lamarzulli.wordpress.com. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. A fascinating look at the Bible and UFOs with our friend L.A. Marzulli. This is Jim Paris, here as always, to help you make the most of God's money. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit christianmoney.com or send an email to jim@christianmoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.